Hear the words of the prophet. Cry aloud. Do not hold back and lift up your voice like a trumpet. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Isaiah does not mince words. He cries, he yells, he berates. Because there are moments when silence is sin. There are moments when politeness becomes violence. There are moments when devotion that will not speak becomes devotion that will not save. And Isaiah says, this is one of those moments. God is not impressed by full temples or sanctuaries if the streets outside are empty of justice. God is not impressed by long prayers if low wages keep workers in bondage. God is not impressed by fasting lips when hungry bodies go unfed. The people come to God daily. They seek God's ways. They delight in worship. They love the sound of faith. And God says, enough. Look, you fast and you exploit. You pray and you oppress. You bow your heads, but you raise your fists. Hear the voice of God, the voice of a wounded lover, a sorrowful parent, a frustrated God. Walter Brueggemann says Isaiah 58 exposes the scandal of a religion that has learned how to perform holiness without practicing justice. Religion that knows the choreography, but not the cost. Religion that loves God's name, but avoids God's neighbors. Hear the indictment. You fast, but you fight. You worship, but you wound. You humble yourselves, but only in ways that do not threaten your comfort. God says, is this the fast I choose? And the answer is no, a holy no, a thunderous no. Howard Thurman warned us a long time ago, any religion that is not related to the pain of people is a religion that is already dead. Isaiah is not calling people to stop worshiping. Isaiah is calling people to stop lying. Because worship that does not change how power is used is worship that has forgotten who God is. Listen carefully to what God demands. Because God is really specific. Loose the bonds of injustice. Undo the thongs of the yoke. Let the oppressed go free. Break every yoke. Not someday. Not spiritually, not metaphorically, literally. Break the yoke. Feed the hungry. House the homeless. Clothe the naked. Stop hiding. Carmen Acevedo Butcher reminds us that the Hebrew pulses with bodily urgency. This is not pious abstraction. This is hands in the dirt faith. Faith that touches skin, faith that confronts systems, and faith that often costs something. Activist John Lewis called this good trouble, the kind of trouble that love makes when injustice gets comfortable. Devotion without justice is an idol. Stated plainly, devotion without justice is not neutral. It is incomplete. It is a form of idolatry. It replaces the living God with a manageable one. A God who loves songs but hates disruption. A God who blesses the privileged but leaves the poor untouched. Isaiah says God will not accept this substitute. We cannot pray our way out of responsibility. We cannot sing our way past suffering. We cannot kneel our way around injustice. William Willimon says, the church's task is not to be nice, it is to be faithful. and faithfulness disrupts the status quo. Then and only then, light breaks forth. Notice the word then. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Then your healing shall spring up quickly. Light doesn't come first. Justice does. Healing does not precede compassion. It follows it. This is not transactional theology. This is incarnational theology. God shows up where bodies are fed, where backs are unburdened, where dignity is restored. God's glory doesn't hover over injustice. God's splendor erupts through liberation. And now we fly forward about 750 years to Paul walking into Corinth, a city drunk on status, addicted to rhetoric, obsessed with power. And Paul says, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not enthroned, not weaponized, not sanitized, crucified. Because the cross is God's refusal to rule the world the way the world rules itself. Paul says, I did not come with eloquence. I did not come with domination. I came trembling because God's wisdom does not subjugate. God's wisdom suffers with. Paul says, none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified our Lord of glory. Power cannot recognize love as wisdom. Empire cannot comprehend self-giving. The cross exposes every system built on extraction, exploitation, and fear. The cross says, God is not on the side of domination. God is on the side of the crucified. Jesus stands with the disinherited, not as an idea, but as a companion. Wisdom has a body. Wisdom isn't an idea you affirm. Wisdom is a body you follow. Jesus eats with the poor, touches the unclean, confronts religious hypocrisy, breaks Sabbath rules to heal bodies crushed by law. God's wisdom bleeds. God's wisdom sweats. And God's wisdom refuses to stay theoretical. And Paul says this wisdom is revealed by the Spirit, not to escape the world, but to engage it more truthfully. The Spirit will not let us off the hook. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. And what does the Spirit reveal? Not comfort without cost, not peace without justice, not faith without action. The Spirit will not let us spiritualize away suffering. The Spirit will not allow devotion to remain polite. The Holy Spirit has the ability to show us a world that does not yet exist and then demand we live as if it must so that we birth that world into existence. The Holy Spirit has the ability to show us a world that does not yet exist and then demand we live as if it must so that we birth that world into existence. Isaiah ends with a name. You shall be called repairer of the breach, restorer of streets to live in. Not conquerors, not saviors, repairers. This is slow work, uncelebrated work, faithful work. John Lewis said, freedom is never final, justice is always unfinished. The work always continues. My friends, this is not about guilt. This is about love and justice. The question is not whether we love God, The question is whether our neighbors experience that love through us. The question is not whether we are faithful. The question is whether is anyone freer because of us? Howard Thurman said, "The power of God is present where life is being made whole." So tell me, where is life being made whole because people showed up? I have seen it in the streets and on the runways of Minnesota, in West Africa, where education is fighting to combat gender-based violence. I've seen it in the world's highest court delivering historic protections for climate-impacted communities. And closer to home, right here on our own front step. A few weeks ago, we had a young man that I will call R, who was passed out on the front step into our office. We were concerned for him as his fingers showed signs of frostbite and his jacket was woefully inadequate for the cold spell we were in. He seemed unable to move, so Evelyn gave him the blanket from her car. We found another coat. We offered him food and water and talked to him, and then we called the 211 helpline. A team from Hope Mission in a converted ambulance was sent to see what they could do for R. Matthew and Paul, the two workers they sent out, as they are sent out every day, came to talk with me first to gather some information and to share some information with me. As I told them the bit we knew, I began to cry. Out of frustration with systemic evil, out of our own limited capacity, but mostly for the never-ending plight of the people we see every day downtown. Paul and Matthew paused and asked if we could pray together. They prayed for R, and they prayed for me, for all of us in the painful truth of the world that we live in. After prayer, the three of us went out to offer what we could. The care that they showed that day, that was love that showed up in quiet darkness, quiet kindness, compassion, and humility in the midst of darkness. Matthew and Paul were and are repairers working at making lives whole. So here are the good news. We are not alone. Christ is already at work, walking with us every day on the hard roads that we all walk. Christ is wisdom made flesh, justice walking the streets, love refusing to be abstract. And Isaiah promises, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, 'Here I am.'" Not above, not distant, not silent. Here, in the work, in the struggle, in the repair. Reverend Brian Baker offers us a blessing as we all pursue this work together. "The world now is too dangerous and too beautiful for anything but love. May your eyes be so blessed you see God in everyone. Your ears so you hear the cry of the poor. May your hands be so blessed that everything you touch is a sacrament. Your lips so you speak nothing but the truth with love. May your feet be so blessed that you run to those who need you. And may your eyes be so opened, so set on fire, that your love changes everything."